All right, let's do it.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, good grief.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
I like how you were really powerful, but then eased off. That was good. I like the smoothness. That was good. I missed you guys last week. Man, I heard that you had a fun episode with all kinds of cool games, and I was a little jealous.
Yeah, we talked about a really, really important Kickstarter.
Did you?
Yeah, was I mean, it's an amazing Kickstarter that I'm pretty sure by the time this airs, it has already funded.
Whoa, sweet.
And, you know, doing super well.
Was it called Tantrum House Season 6?
It is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty pumped. I'm glad to know that we feel excited about that. Because that's tomorrow in real life.
I had someone look at our page and they're like, wow, you guys have a lot of promos.
Yeah?
I was like, yeah, we've been working hard to get
these all. Yeah, a bunch. Thank you, Kevin. Bravo. Yeah. Golf clap and other claps. Kevin has done a fantastic job rounding up. Do you remember how many it is, actually?
29.
29 individual. Ooh. And not even individual, because some of them are sets and groups.
I know, packs. Promo packs.
Yeah, very cool. Plus a bunch of bundles.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're really here to talk about. I mean, we will more, I'm sure, but why don't we talk about some games that we've been playing?
That's right.
Sarah and I haven't played a whole lot of games because we were out of town, but we did get some fun sights in, which we might talk about at some point.
Well,
right now, go ahead.
Sure. We went out of town.
And
we
saw the Parthenon.
We saw the Parthenon. We did.
The one in America.
Yeah, the one in Nashville, but it's as close as we'll get for
is
now.
Is that like what? Is that like seeing the Eiffel Tower, but not
in Las Vegas?
Okay.
This one was made to scale. And,
wow, that's pretty cool.
It also...
Wait, is it demolished like the one in...
No.
Okay.
No, in fact, it was pretty difficult to recreate some of the frieze, which is the...
dimensional sculpture on the front.
Yeah, the dimensional sculptures on the front.
I tried to think of that word the other day. I was talking to somebody about a frieze, and I was like, I can't remember what it's called, though. Nobody could remember.
Well,
but
we
there
did
it is.
See all the signs. Like, all the art history.
I want to claim that I remember that from art history, but I think I just read the sign when I got there.
So this is like part like field trip too. Then
right, it definitely was. Yeah, we were vacationing with family. I was also doing a work convention, and then somebody had mentioned to us that it was there, and we were like, "Oh yeah, we heard about that."
Yeah.
And then it was actually not far at all from where we were, so we swung by, checked it out, and it was actually pretty impressive.
Second question, was there a board game retreat there?
There was a moment where I slipped away from everything else and played some board games, but that's not
it. Wasn't like Druid City Games at a castle or
anything. Oh,
like
no.
Okay.
We can't do that every trip, but we'll try. We'll try.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
So
had a great time.
What games did you get to play?
I did get to play a game of Don't Mess with Cthulhu with some of the team members that were working there. I had been bragging about it, and they were like, tell us, we want to play it. And I was like, well, as luck would have it, I did bring only two games with me.
That and?
And the Railroad Inc.
Yes.
Oh, from CMON.
Which I didn't have a chance
to
play.
Two small games that you can
come
play lots of people.
Pack them with me easily. Yeah. They loved it, of course. And then, even more fun than that, honestly, was we went to a really cool restaurant called Manel's in... Is that what it's called? Manel's?
Yes.
In Nashville. It's this family-style one where you show up and you eat with whoever other strangers are there at the time.
Really family-style.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we had like 7, the table held like 12, and they just lump other people together at your table. And then they bring out this amazing...
Oh, amazing, amazing.
Homemade family, what's the, like, comfort food?
Yes,
country
southern,
food.
Southern comfort food.
Cool.
They had this, like, chicken... What was it even? Chicken... It looked like smushed up macaroni and chicken.
It was a chicken casserole.
I don't really know what it was.
you made it sound so delectable.
Didn't I? Yeah.
Flavor. Smushed up chicken.
And macaroni.
It sounds wonderful.
But anyway. The people we were sitting next to, let me get to the reason for the story.
Our port gamers.
They were like, yeah. There were like five guys who were sitting there, and I was like, where are you guys from? They were from L.A. or somewhere out there. And they were here for they worked for Lyft.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like engineers, and they were like, yeah, we get together like every week and play board games. And I was like, what? We sat at the right table. So we talked about a bunch of games that they had played. They had just played Secret Hitler and thought that was amazing. And I was like, oh, you have to play Domus with Cthulhu next. Okay. Hadn't heard of it. They were all excited.
Gave them our business card.
That's right. They were going to go try it. So that was cool. They hadn't heard of us, but you know, that's
okay.
They have now. And
that's
so
right. They're
going to
spread the word in Las Vegas.
It was pretty fun.
Melissa and I played a game from Stronghold Games called CO2 Second Chance over the weekend. It was originally a semi-co-op game. It was kickstarted again, and it is now not only semi-co-op but also a fully co-op game. And
this one we talked about like forever ago on this podcast?
Yeah, maybe might have.
I think so.
Probably, because it was on Kickstarter.
I think I remember talking about it.
There can't be that many games that have CO2 in the name, and I remember that as well. So
yeah.
And it's
I'm pretty sure we talked about it on this podcast.
Designed by
Vital Lacerda.
Yes, Vital Lacerda. I was hesitating over the first name.
Vital.
Yes.
Vital Lacerda.
So it's on the heavier spectrum of games.
Way heavier spectrum. Yeah. Not heavier in the actions you take, because it's not like, it's just, since it is fully co-op, in order not to lose, you need to work together, like...
We basically would have lost the first round, but then we, like, midway through the first round, we realized, oh, we have to do all of this before the round ends.
Okay.
Let's take two steps back and do this instead.
Kind of leans back and says four steps.
But it was the very first game, so we all said,
we did a little retcon.
Very nice.
It was really enjoyable. They really upgraded the components. The art's a lot better. And I liked the fully co-op. I was talking to someone online, and they were saying, yeah, semi-co-op's really mean because...
Oh, yeah.
Like, because you're... Because
you gotta work together, steal the points at the end.
The name is CO2. You're trying to basically have efficient green energy in the game. You're trying to build this green energy plants, and you're basically trying to go to different summits and basically show off your...
Speak about the different types of green energy.
The knowledge. So there's... wind energy and solar energy, and yeah, you're a little TED talk. So there's these five or six different types of green type energies, but if you aren't able to create these solar plants in the different continents, because there's, I think they have six of the different continents around the board that you have to build power plants on. So if like
Antarctica, they're like, don't
yeah,
worry
I guess
it.
like if you forget or if your team doesn't build a power plant in say Europe, then that round you basically have to use like a fossil fuel, and it basically hurts you in the game because then your what they call CEP points basically continue to rise. In a co-op game, you're basically trying to make them go lower, but in a semi-co-op game, if it ever gets to like the end, like it like could hurt some people but help others. So it's, I don't know how it all works semi-co-op, but
yeah, we haven't played the semi-co-op, just
the co-op version. It's pretty cool.
So did you feel like you did actually have to work together, and you did work together, or was there, is this alpha player prone where like
I don't know if it's too alpha player. It could be. It's definitely like, what can you do on your turn?
Yeah, we played four players, so basically each decade or round, each of us had two turns.
Okay.
So that's only eight turns in a round, and then a whole bunch of stuff happens. So we almost had to plan out all eight of our turns before we did anything because... Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, but this needs to happen before that can happen, because there's three stages to building a
power plant.
And different players can do the stages, but they have to be done in order. So, I have the resources to do this stage. Kevin has the resources to do that stage, but Kevin comes before me, so...
That's crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
There was definitely a lot to think about. And
yeah. It was our first game. I think it says in the box 2 hours. It probably took us 3 to 4 hours. But oh, wow. It was our first game.
Okay, playing. Interesting. But it kept your interest for the 3 to 4 hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually said, do you want to stop? And the other players were like, no, let's just keep going.
Cool. So, all right. Awesome. Yeah. That's exciting.
Well, we played the Between Two Castles.
I like that.
Very nice.
Yes.
The other day. That was
speaking of Between Two Castles.
What?
Promo tile?
We have promo cards.
Do we really?
Yes.
No way!
Yeah, they're the bonus. You know the orange bonus cards? Yeah. There's a new set that Jamie's letting us use for our Kickstarter campaign that is basically being revealed in ours, and they'll be also offered at other places after ours.
Cool.
So.
Get a hold of them now.
Between Two Castles is one of those rare, amazing games that make me feel so good playing. And I just really enjoy it, and then I always lose, but I still really enjoyed the game.
Oh,
well, I'm glad.
Satisfaction.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think I like it more than just Between Two Cities now.
Really?
But I like Castles more than Between Two Castles. So out of those three, it's Castles, Between Two Castles, then Between Two Cities. That's my...
Yeah, I would say if we were playing with beginner gamers or really casual gamers, Between Two Cities...
Yeah.
Would be the better entry level, but sure. For gamers, Between Two Castles.
I have to introduce them to different games, though.
Something that
well, if you have like 6 or 7 players, Between Two Cities of new players.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a long one.
Yeah. Sorry, but Sarah Katie.
I was just gonna say something that I missed though from Between Two Between Two Cities. That's not in Two Castles. Is the double tile. That you have to work with.
I agree
with
that. Yeah.
I wish there was something that was hard for me to place.
New expansion? What?
Yeah. You should think of that.
I know he's all Wingspan now. Between Two Castles.
Between Two Wingspans? Can you do it?
we played a game tonight.
Yeah. Skulk?
Skulk. I don't like that word, but...
Yeah.
Skulk.
It's in other games, too.
You're making it sound weird by saying it, buddy.
Is by pencil first.
Sure, but what?
Skulk Hollow?
Yeah, why add a K? I don't understand. Is that a
meaning
word guy?
To skulk around is kind of like to sneak around, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Well, then that makes perfect sense in this game, which is a bluffing player elimination game.
Yeah.
With a skull piece.
A skola?
You're making it sound... Y'all are saying things so weird. You have a little skull, and then the marbles fall down, and you open the jaw on the skull to reveal a little marble.
It's pretty
secretly.
Cool.
The components are pretty slick. It's, like, mostly cardboard, but with a gold foil art on it, which is pretty slick.
Yeah,
the
nice.
Skull is, like, faceted really weird and cool, and bronze plastic, which is
there's
nice.
There's probably a technical art name for that. It's a geometric skull.
Geodesic?
I think it is geodesic. Thank you, Ryan.
Good job.
Wow.
And this is put out by Asmodee, and I think you can already buy it at Target. I saw it at Target already.
It's got a really cool shelf appearance.
So I'm sure it's at your favorite local game store, too.
As well. That's where you should go instead of Target. And six
are we
players,
doing a
so we all play.
Later?
Oh, should we? Could we? I guess we could.
Maybe we should do a video.
So it is player elimination, and it is bluffing. Ryan's favorite mechanics.
You know it.
Although Ryan got second place.
He was second
out of
place.
Six.
True. And I do feel like it was better than a lot of... Like, it has a little bit of that Liar's Dice thing going on. A little bit.
Yeah. No, I like Liar's Dice.
It's Liar's Dice in that you can lie.
Right.
And people can challenge you.
But with Liar's Dice, you can sort of play the probabilities. And in this one, there's a little bit of probabilities.
Okay,
in that you can
that.
See certain marbles which got removed and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. One thing I did like was there was no bidding mechanic.
Right.
No, I'm kidding.
The trifecta.
We'll add that.
I'm kidding. One thing I did like was how sturdy the skull was.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of times when game components are meant to move and have hinges and stuff, they'll just fall apart. But I feel like this is going to really last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll put some. I think this one will get some playtime in, which is cool because this seemed like the type that I'm going to want to bring to game nights because it's got the cool components. People will be like, "What is that game? I want to play it." Anyway, let's like check it out. I think now we can give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Green Feet Games. Their game Paradise Lost is coming to Kickstarter April 9th. It's a competitive deduction game where you play as storybook characters and heroes trying to thwart the Water Witch. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in our Kickstarter connection.
Speaking of our sponsors, though, I do want to shout out to our year sponsors, too, because I think all of them gave us something for our Kickstarter campaign.
Did they?
Awesome. Yeah, so,
way to go, all y'all sponsors.
Yeah, so Bezier Games, we have the Suburbia tile.
Yes.
We have the Coloma promo card from Final Frontier Games, which we haven't seen the artwork yet, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Right. Come on, Miko.
and then the Game Toppers is going to give us some Gamer mats.
Gamer mats. Yeah.
Table mats?
Yeah.
Mats.
Table mats, yeah. The game neoprene mats. Stitched ones, the real nice, cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we have some stuff in the works, too, with a couple other sponsors, but those aren't necessarily for the Kickstarter. I know we've got a phone call out there for some stuff.
Yep, in the future.
Yeah, secret-y things.
They probably won't be through podcast, but that's okay.
And now let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode will be talking about 7 games coming to Kickstarter the week of April 8th, 2019. Start us off, Kevin.
Kingdom.
You got that. Keep rocking. Roll and rock.
There you go. Kingdom Rush Rift in Time is coming from Lucky Duck Games on April 9th, and this is based off of the hit mobile app Kingdom Rush.
There are multiple mobile apps. It is a great tower defense game. I really enjoy it. I'm looking forward to seeing how this game plays.
So this is a 1-4 player tower defense style game. There are it's co-op, so we're all working together to basically fight off the hordes of enemies that are coming to fight or coming to your base. So as you do that, each player has their own sort of special powers, sort of asymmetrical powers. You have in the game different Tetris-like pieces that you're placing on these little tiles that are basically the hordes coming in, and you can place your tiles in such a way, whereas the hordes on the tile aren't just filled on the tile. There's basically different spots on the tile that are hordes, and you're placing your Tetris-like pieces so that they cover the hordes on the tile. And you're going to be able to upgrade your tiles throughout the game. You're going to be able to place your in a more advanced game. There's an easy game, the more medium to advanced games. You can actually play your hero miniatures on the different tiles, and they do different things, which is kind of cool. Kingdom Rush Rift in Time.
Obviously features the same art as the app.
Same art as the app.
Looks very fun.
And I've played 2 scenarios and enjoyed both. The third one I played, there was the second and the third, which were, the third ones were really hard. So I didn't play the first scenario, but the second and the third scenario were both really good. We beat the second scenario. The third scenario we did not beat. But we figured out we might have been able to do it if everything had worked
perfectly,
which probably would not have happened.
Do you know how many scenarios there are?
No, I do not. I do not know how many scenarios.
But assumedly a bunch.
Yeah. But cool. We enjoy Lucky Duck Games, and they, of course, we really enjoy the Chronicles of Crime series, and check out the promo card.
And also
card.
A promo card, yeah.
Check out the promo card for that. And this, they said they're putting a lot of effort behind this Kickstarter campaign. He said it's one of their biggest ones they're doing.
Cool.
So
can't wait
for Kingdom Rush Rift in Time. Melissa.
Well, on April 9th, like I mentioned before, Paradise Lost is coming from Greenfeet Games, and this is designed by Tom Butler. It's 2-5 players and plays about an hour.
Yeah, about an hour. I've not read the book, though.
You've not read the
by John Milton?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. No, this game has nothing to do with that Paradise Lost.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
How
and
can
that
it not?
Probably takes more than an hour. So this is basically a fairy tale storybook theme. It has beautiful art. The cover is very striking. The board has this path through different types of lands, like your cloud land, your forest, your swamps, and The best way I can describe this is that this game is Clue meets Takedo. So you have a deduction aspect where there is one villain and one weapon that you're trying to deduce that the evil witch is going to try to take over the land with a villain, and there's a certain weapon that can defeat.
Vanquish
the villain. And basically, there's a villain deck and a weapon deck, and you take one of each card randomly and put it in an envelope, like Clue. And those are the two cards that you're looking for. And the rest of the cards are distributed among the players, and a few are put face down at some oracle spaces on the board. So throughout the game, you are trying to figure out what cards the other players have, because if the player has that card, then that card is not the weapon or the villain that you're looking for. But you move around the different realms along a path, and there are different types of spaces you can land on, kind of like Takedo, and they each have different powers. You can trade resources and get resources and draw swan cards and
truth seeker
cards, which are kind of like press your luck sort of things. Kevin, Katie, Ryan, and I actually played this tonight, and Katie really enjoyed drawing those cards.
I did. Well, that was exciting. I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen? Because they are definitely, like, there were some that was like, oh, yeah, you gain three things, you know? And some of them were like, trade cards with somebody else. And
or steal cards from someone else.
Yeah, I did. I stole Kevin's card.
Or so. Lose a cube.
Yeah, as I say, or it could be losing resources. So it really was pressure luck. Like, you really don't know what you're getting when you draw those cards.
But yeah. So anyway, as you move along this path, you can choose how far you want to go. But whoever is farthest back on the path, that's the person whose turn it is. Cool. So you could take several turns if there are several spots that are empty. In a row.
Is there a name for that mechanic? I'm seeing that more and more.
I think there is.
I like it.
I can't think of it.
Let's invent it.
The farthest back person goes first mechanic.
It doesn't have quite the name I was looking for.
I was thinking it was something like golf turns or something, because that's how golf is played.
Lasty firsty.
That's nice. I'm sure there's probably already a name for this mechanic.
So, listeners, if you know the name,
let us know.
But anyway, so that's how you're moving along the board, and there are four different oracle spots. All the players stop there, and then you pay a certain type of resource, and then you can ask a question to the player to your left, Clue style. Could the villain be Grendel or the Jabberwocky? And if Katie's next to me, if she has one of those cards, she has to show it to me. If not, she says, no, I don't know. And then the next person, if they have that card, they can show it. So really very similar to Clue with the questions that you're asking and deducing. The interesting thing, though, is you basically have to get all the way around the board before you can make your guess.
Oh, yeah, your official guess. If you just guess it right, then everybody then just knows.
If everyone's like, nope, don't got that. So you have to get to the end, and then at the beginning of the game, you have randomized what sort of condition decides the order that players can make their final guess. So the game we just played, it was whoever had the most mana and coins. So you get to the end, whoever has the most mana and coins can make the
first guess.
So you're kind of competing to get that. There is one other thing, a hideout mechanic that's a little complicated, but that can also determine who makes the first guess.
And Ryan got to do the first guess.
Ryan got to do the first guess.
The game really threw me a bone because I shouldn't have won. But
no,
just the way things fell out, I was able to make the first guess. And also, there's some things in the game where if you're bad at deduction like I am, it can kind of help you out, where some of the cards let you look at some of the clues so you can get information before other people. And then you get revealed some of the clues as you're going around the board.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's even a mechanic where if you collect enough scrolls, then you don't have to even guess one of the categories of clues. And that was how I won, because I wouldn't have guessed right without it.
But Katie and Melissa, or at least Katie and I would have guessed the correct one.
I had a 50-50 chance on the
I totally had circled the Warlock and the potion strength potion.
Yeah.
I was close, but I don't think I would have made the right guess without it.
Ryan, if you hedge your bets, it sounds like that's cool.
I don't know.
It was fun.
I'm interested.
Yep.
Would play again.
So, yeah, that's Paradise Lost, and we're going to have a preview video and a playthrough video of this game. Katie.
All right, so I am taking a look at Double Six Dice. This is not a game, but just an accessory. Mm-hmm. And this is actually their second Kickstarter. It's their second generation of these dice. And their first Kickstarter was very successful, like way overfunded. And what it is they're making the argument that the cube-shaped six-sided dice does not roll well and that it can be influenced. And it's proven that, you know, if you really know what you're doing and you practice, you can influence what your roll is. But
the magician doesn't seem impressed.
Kevin knows.
So the thing is that they say that these tumble better. So basically it's a 6-sided die or a 12-sided dice, and it has each number twice so that they roll and tumble better. So it's less, it's a lot harder to influence what you're going to roll with these.
Are they all the pips, or are there numbers on them too? Because I kind of like the idea of just having the pips so that you can tell the difference between your D12s and your double sixes.
They are. They're pips. Well, the ones in this campaign specifically are pretty much all pips. I think there may be one or two that have different types on there. And in their previous Kickstarter, they actually did things with, instead of pips, they did some with numbers, and they did some with other symbols and some different ways of telling it that were just more, a little more unusual. This one's focusing more on unusual materials that they're using.
Oh, so there's actual dye material stuff.
Yeah, so like they're doing the clear dye, or they're doing ones that are called smoke, where they're mostly clear with some color swirled in, and some ones that look frosted. So they're focusing on those different looks in this one. But this was actually a request from one of our listeners to hear what we thought about this. And it looks interesting. It's already funded. It's actually on Kickstarter already. And there's going through May 1st, I think, is when their Kickstarter ends. But it seems like it's pretty reasonably priced for the different tiers and stuff, so I think they look pretty neat. Ryan, what have you got?
Coming April 8th from BoardCubator is Space Race.
Space Race!
We actually have a prototype of this, and we're going to be doing a preview, so by the time this comes out, check it out on YouTube, Space Race. It's about being one of these space agencies in the 50s through the 70s who are all competing to be the first into space and progressing your space agency's technology and the different developments. And it's got some really cool rocket miniatures. And I don't know a whole lot about the rest of the game.
I've seen
but
them.
The art and these miniatures look really great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying this one out.
I saw like the board where you're like actually like adding tiles to the game board to like progress through. It looked
kind of
interesting.
I think your progress is like this rocket that's kind of divvied up into sections, and you're kind of filling up the rocket as you go.
That's cool.
Progressing from the 50s to the 70s. I know that you have multiple areas where you can get cards from, and some cards you can't play them until they are in the universe at large. And some things can only be played in your agency, but others can be sort of shared amongst yourselves. So I'm interested in seeing how this game plays, and you should definitely check out our preview for it once we've shot it. So definitely check it out. Space Race. April 8th. Will, you got something.
I do. This is a pretty interesting one. It's called The Lost Journal of Flintlock Flynn. Think in the style of...
Flintlock Flynn?
Flintlock.
The famous one.
Yeah, cool.
It looks a little bit like Indiana Jones style story, and I think this is actually more of like a family focused or a kid focused thing. It has that feel of being like one of those subscription model services where you kind of receive stuff in the mail, and it's not choose your own adventure, but puzzly solving stuff. And it looks like it's targeted for youngsters. Parents are probably going to have to facilitate it and help them along and probably have fun, obviously, in the process. But it looks like a pretty cool concept. I don't know how many pieces specifically you get in the mail, but there's a number of puzzles. I'm guessing it's probably a year subscription. There's probably 12 things.
I think it all
things.
Comes in one packet. And then the parent.
Does it?
Yep, it does. You can get more mail throughout after that.
Yeah, it looks
but
like
each
it's
adventure
to, right.
is one packet.
Oh, so maybe it's... Okay. I'm not sure how many, I don't know how ongoing it is, but there are definitely more modules that you can get in the mail with more stuff to do. And it looks like it comes with some pretty cool stuff. A little sample shot they show has like a little treasure chest and a compass and some coins. And it looks like you get letters and maps and different things to figure out. I know our kids get like the Lego magazine that grandma got them as a subscription. And every month when that arrives in the mail, they are just ecstatic about this piece of mail that has their name on it. Mm-hmm. So this seems like it'd be a really fun gift idea for a little adventurer, board gamer, wannabe.
So basically it can be like your own Goonies adventure?
Maybe, yeah, a little bit like that. It actually, I mean, like the artist who's putting the work together for this is, I don't know, he's a freelance guy that does some pretty cool looking artwork. Mm-hmm. And all of this looks really decent. Sometimes I've seen these puzzle ones where you get, you know, a letter in the mail that's a fake letter and just looks boring and trashy. But this one, like, journals and pictures and maps and sheet music and all kinds of really cool materials that look like it would be a pretty fun thing to solve, especially if you were smart enough as a kid to pull it off. I think it would be really fun for parents to help them along and discover it together. So, pretty slick. I like the style and the art. Flintlock Flynn coming to Kickstarter probably the 9th. Sarah, what do you got?
The game I'm going to talk about is Promenade, or Promenade. I'm going to say Promenade. This is a 2-4 player game that plays in about 45 to 60 minutes, and it is a deck-building game that is about Impressionist artwork. And so you are trying... Everyone starts off with, I think, 5 pieces of art and some money, and you're trying to add to your collection, but yet exhibit some of your art. And the more a specific artist becomes exhibited, then the value of their art goes up. So you have to balance when you exhibit certain paintings in your collection to give you victory points right then, but then also hanging on to them in hopes that some will raise in value. And then, obviously, you're trying to become the most wealthy art connoisseur by the end of the game. So you can check out Promenade. This is from designer Tate Wu from Sunrise Tornado Game Studio. Kevin.
After years of space travel, you finally found a place to call home. Work on planets will be tough. Harsh conditions will pose challenges. But with perseverance, you'll make it work in Cosmic Run, Mining Colony.
Sounded so intense.
I know, really.
Cosmic Run, Mining Colony is actually a standalone game in the Cosmic Run universe from Dr. Finn's Games. Mm-hmm. And these have been pretty cool games that we've tried. And Melissa and I were able to play this game, the Mining Colony. We were actually creating your own colony on... I guess Mars. I don't know if it actually says the word Mars, but it's a 1-2 player game only. And you're actually collecting, would you say it's a, not bidding, it's a your basic simultaneous...
It's a bit of a draft.
Yeah. So you're basically, you have a hand of 10 cards numbered 1-10, and there are different components, resources that you're trying to get to go into your mining colony. But based on the numbered card that you play and the other person plays, whoever has the higher number gets to pick which group of resources they choose, and the other person would get the other group.
And you play those 2 cards simultaneously.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's interesting in how you get the resources, and then even when you get those resources,
they are Tetris-like tiles that you're placing on your board, and you are creating basically places for your spaceships to land, different biodomes, different science factories, and things like that to get points. That's the name of the game, to try and get points. And depending on different color majority and even making sure you fill up your board, because at the end of the game, if you haven't filled up your board, you're going to get negative points for spaces unfilled.
Yes, and you have to put certain things next to each other to score or to get the structures that you need. So there's also a little bit of a spatial aspect of which tiles that you put on your board in which spot.
Neat.
The way you led off, I thought you were going to talk about that game where you're Marsifying Earth instead of terraforming Mars.
Terraforming Earth?
Marsifying.
Marsifying Earth. Nice.
Marsifying. That game?
I thought it was just interesting that he took the theme of Cosmic Run, which is like the space race. Not your space race, Ryan.
No.
Yeah.
But a different, like a you know, Cosmic Run.
Spaceship race.
And he took that and he's like, oh, now that the race is over, now they're actually like landing on a planet and colonizing it. So that's kind of cool. Kind of interesting how he took that theme and ran with it.
Yeah, and it's a pretty quick game, too. I would say probably less than half an hour.
Oh yeah, that less than half. We actually played it on the cruise.
Oh wow.
Well, the prototype at least. So one more. I'm gonna sneak in
another one.
Not technically an eight.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
Melissa and I played a game prototype a year or so ago called Venom Assault, and it's got this like G.I. Joe theme.
I remember this.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because so, Will was all over that.
And jealous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember this. Anyway, the company is actually bringing an expansion to the game and on April 9th as well. So you
and
can check
knowing
it out.
Is half the battle.
That's, and knowing is half the battle. The name of the expansion, if you want to know, I'll look it up here real quick. It's called Villains and Valor. So it definitely still has that nice G.I. Joe.
There it is, yeah. So, all over the place.
Yeah. So.
So we're talking about a not official G.I. Joe.
No. It's just a thematic
G.I. Joe-ish.
Ish.
Familiar seeming nostalgia value.
That's right. Well, let's jump into our house guest segment with Joe, the designer of Endangered.
Hey! Thanks for having me.
So, we are all excited about Endangered coming to Kickstarter, which is actually on Kickstarter, from Grand Gamers Guild, and you are the designer. And tell us a little bit, just a general overview of Endangered first.
Absolutely. So, Endangered is a cooperative game where the players play as conservationists trying to save a species from extinction. So, like any cooperative game, it's you all win or you all lose. So the core mechanic is it is a dice placement game. So you roll your dice and you place them on the different actions and you can do different things. So it's like worker placement, except when you place in a normal like competitive worker placement game, once you place your worker, you block that action completely. With the dice placement game, you can actually have multiple players take that action as long as their dice are high enough. Your dice have to be bigger than the other dice that are already there. So, the base game that we're hoping to find that is on Kickstarter right now is the Tiger and Sea Otter modules.
Now, Kevin and I actually played this at least 2 years ago, maybe. I think either at Gen Con or Origin. So I know you've been working on it for a long time. Can you tell us a little bit about your design journey with this game?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been designing games for 10 years, and for the majority of that time, I was designing competitive games, and I didn't want to do a cooperative game because I knew it takes a lot of balance, it takes a lot of testing, because with a normal competitive game, if one player has a lead and they're starting to take off, you can usually, as a designer, rely a little bit on the other players to make sure they don't just win sometimes. But with a cooperative game, you, the designer, and the game have to make sure that that balance is there. So I didn't design a cooperative game for a long time, and I finally decided to do one a couple years back, about 3 years ago, and I should have done one sooner. I got a contract with Grand Gamers Guild, and that's who's going to be publishing the game. Yes, we've been designing the game for about 3 years now. We've got 9 or so different animal scenarios that we've designed, but the Kickstarter right now, we have the tiger and the sea otter modules, and then the pandas is a stretch goal, and hopefully have the sea turtles as another stretch goal.
Tell us a little bit about the process on how you pitched the game Endangered to Grand Gamers Guild, and tell us a little bit about the behind the scenes there.
Sure. So I met Grand Gamers Guild. I met Mark Spector at Protospiel, which is a unpublished board game convention here in Michigan. We're both from Michigan, which has been really great. But I contacted him ahead of time and showed him the game. And actually, it was he didn't play with the Tiger module. He played with the California Condors. And he signed the game. And then I was like, well, we should do Tigers as our base game. So I had to show him that one next. But yeah, so it's been really great working with Mark. He's been very very great at giving like feedback, and as well as letting me develop the game and give feedback as well. So he got Beth Sobel and Ben Flores to do the art, and they did a really amazing job. So
yeah, I was just about to say, I'm really excited that you got some very talented artists to illustrate the game, because I think when we played this a couple years ago, that was, I think, one of my comments to Mark. This is a serious topic about, you know, species and endangered species, and people could have, you know, feelings one way or another. And I think having the right illustrations is going to could help or could hurt the actual the game.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't want the art to be too cartoony, didn't want it to be too abstract, but we also didn't want it to be too realistic. Like, we certainly didn't want to see, like, graphic images of you know, dead animals. So, mm-hmm. Our artists, Beth and Ben, they did a really good job at making sure the art was tasteful.
Yeah, the box cover is striking. I think that's really going to draw people in and make them take a look at the game on Kickstarter. And you mentioned that pandas and sea turtles could be unlocked, and I think that those are also animals that people are really going to be interested in playing with and trying to save. So it sounds like you guys are making some really good decisions.
Yeah, thank you.
So you mentioned the tigers, the sea otters, the pandas, and the sea turtles, and I heard there was the initial California condor. Is that?
Yeah, that'll be an expansion probably down the road. We've got ones. Oh, you wanted to hear like all of them?
Well, if you're allowed to say like what other ones you're looking at, that'd be cool.
Sure. So we've got the black rhinos, which is the first scenario I ever designed. And I have a scenario for the polar bears, Asian elephants, and we also have the devil's hole pupfish,
which I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it is the rarest fish in the world. It lives in one small pond in Nevada near Death Valley. My wife heard about it, and she's like, "You have to do this." This scenario, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. So I did it. And it's actually a lot of fun. It's pretty good.
Cool. Tell us a little bit about, speaking of that and how you came up with them, what's the sort of the design process on the research behind these endangered species?
Yeah, so I did a lot of research on the different threats that these species face to make sure that the mechanics of the game feel the same way that conservationists that work on helping these species doing the same kinds of things. So for example, with the sea otter scenario, there's an oil spill and the oil is moving toward the otters and you have to clean up the oil as quickly as you can. With the tiger scenario, as the tiger's habitat gets smaller, the human-tiger interactions get worse. And so we have tiger sightings that come out and they get worse as the game goes on. So, I tried really hard to make sure that the different threats that the game throws at the players are very realistic.
Talking about the gameplay, as you are trying to, you know, as a group win, you are trying to get yes votes from the ambassadors that are in the game. And that's I believe that's random each game, the who the ambassadors will be.
Yeah, so to win the game, you have to convince the UN to pass a resolution. So you're trying to work on, you know, cleaning up the oil spill and saving the animals, but that's not how you win the game. Like, to win the game, you got to get this legislation passed. And so you really have to balance between the two. Each game, you'll start with six ambassadors out of 12. One of them comes from a certain set of ambassadors, and then the other five come from a different set of ambassadors. So, yeah, it's mostly random which ones you're going to see. So,
now, something that we're really excited about is that Grand Gamers Guild is partnering with us sort of to give us a set of ambassador cards on the Tantrum House Kickstarter page. So fans of Endangered, if they're also fans of Tantrum House, can actually get those cards and play with members of Tantrum House as the ambassadors. So Kevin and me and Sarah and Will and Ryan and Katie. So I think that would be very interesting. Hopefully we're nice ambassadors.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ambassadors we have for you guys are not just like redone ambassadors that we already have in the game. They're different. They're separate. And so you can add them into the game, and it will spice the game up even further, even more replayability. Or you could just play with just the six Tantrum House ambassadors if you just want to use them.
Certain people might say yes more easily than others. Yeah, I don't know.
I can just imagine some of the conversations. Like, Kevin just won't say yes.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are... I try to make them fairly even, but...
Okay.
As of right now, Melissa is much easier to do than Kevin. So, okay. Kevin's more of a no.
Okay. That's probably true to life. I'm definitely going to be like, sure, you can save the tigers.
Well, as we close out this interview, Joe, tell us a little bit about the campaign. It's running from April 2nd until when?
April 26th, it'll end. Yep.
And do you know some of the reward levels?
So our base funding goal is 30,000. And then, I don't remember all of the different stretch goals, but, right. I'm really hoping we get to the wooden animal meeples. Right now they're just punch out tokens, but, Josh Capel was our graphic designer, and he designed some really cool looking animal meeples. Way down the road, we might have those even screen printed if we can get to a really high stretch goal, but those look really nice.
And what is the game cost?
So the base pledge level is going to be 55, and then retail it'll be 60.
Great.
So
wonderful.
There's also a level where for another $20, so a total of $75, you can buy a copy of the game, and then your other $20 will buy a second copy of the game that will go to the Center for Biological Diversity, and they will be donating those games to schools and other education initiatives.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, excited about that. As we say goodbye, do you have a hobby of doing magic tricks?
I do. Yes, I do.
Wow. So does Kevin.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Which kind of tricks are you your best at?
I like sleight of hand. That's my go-to. Card tricks and sponge balls and coins are my top three that I do.
So. Yes. No, he does not saw me in half. He does not shove me into cabinets or any of that sort of stuff.
Okay.
What about you, Joe?
I prefer gimmicky card tricks, but yeah. Definitely close-up magic is my thing, yeah. Have you shown me any of your magic?
I don't think so. Maybe next convention
we'll have to share
some trade secrets with each other.
Yeah, do a magic, magic battle, yeah.
Okay, right. Guys can put on a magic show.
I don't know about that. Very cool.
Well, thanks again, Joe. It was great having you on the show here tonight, and we look forward to success of Endangered. So check that out on Kickstarter now.
Yeah, and good luck with your Kickstarter as well.
Thank you. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye!
It was great having Joe on our show. Wow, Joe on our show.
It rhymed.
It rhymed.
Every time.
And it was kind of cool. I knew, I think, from a previous conversation that he was a magician, too. Mm. So we have a little bit of a connection there. So I actually am looking forward to talking to him a little bit more about some trade secrets.
So talk to us a little bit more about the secret that you'll be revealing on your Tantrum Quest card. Does Melissa know this trick? Like, how skilled do we need to be as we embark on the quest to be able to do the trick?
You do not have to have any skill.
Any skill, okay.
Now, but the plan is to show the trick off.
Okay.
On the video. Now, they have to go through some puzzles to get.
Right, good. As
they should, too.
Now, this is the quest card that you can get on our Kickstarter.
Yes. So each of our studios is creating these different quests. Studio D's is a puzzle-type quest, but eventually, if you go through all the quests, all the puzzles, you'll be able to unlock a code to a secret video.
Very nice.
And in that video, I will show, maybe even perform, the magic trick.
Now, are you going to be, like, performing any other magic tricks during the first half to, like, whet our appetites? No.
No.
I was hoping.
This is going to have a lot of Tantrum House stuff. It's going to have a lot of, like pop culture stuff. And some pretty cool puzzles that we've been talking about. So I'm excited about that. But I'm going to show it off and perform maybe with, like, an audience.
Okay. Oh,
and
cool.
And then I'm going to be like, okay, you saw the magic trick. You can stop here and never and not know.
Not ruin that.
Not ruin it. Or you can
continue
spoiler alert. And you can see how this trick is done, and you can perform it for your friends and family.
Very nice. So. I like it. I was doing a little brainstorming on ours as well over the week, this past weekend.
Since we know a little bit about ours and a little bit about Ryan and Katie's, what about Will and Sarah Studio 3?
So I think we're going to do some, like, we will give you a special assignment, which is the whole purpose of the quest, and then we'll have to have you, like, submit a photo of yourself doing it.
Okay.
And then we'll probably, depending on how many photos we get, hopefully we'll get a bunch of awesome ones, we'll probably compile those into like a Facebook album or something to share in addition to just being a part of the quest. Okay. But once we receive your submission, that will then unlock the next assignment for you to do.
Okay.
And I think we're going to do, I was brainstorming with the boys, I think we're going to do five like individual assignments.
Okay.
And each one of our family members will like reveal what the assignment is.
Okay.
So you'll kind of work your way up. Xander will have like a, okay, this is what you have to do. And then you'll work your way up to the hardest one, which will probably be mine or Sarah's, depending on what we come up with.
Okay.
And then once you turn all of those in, we're kind of thinking about maybe a prize for whoever does the very best all together thing. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
And then the other thing I've been brainstorming is what the combined quest is.
I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say, should we reveal that now or are we going to wait?
I think we definitely wait.
Or definitely wait.
But I have put some thought into it, so maybe we
for
can
the
all
combined,
talk later.
So if someone buys all four, this is what we're talking about. If someone buys all four quest cards, they could combine together for something
for
pretty
an additional special cool thing.
Okay. Cool.
That's all we'll say for right now.
To be determined.
Right.
Which we'll talk about after we push the stop recording.
Right.
Okay.
We have so much to talk about.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. So that obviously will have already been live by the time this goes live.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that is live now, I don't know if you guys talked about this in the last episode, but have we talked about MiiFlex XP?
No.
We mentioned, hinted at it about how people should go to our website
and
check it out.
Awesome. You know what? I don't think I put it on our website.
I think maybe we said YouTube.
Yeah, it's definitely on all of our social.
We definitely said something.
It's on Wooten Fall House. I should have published it today on our Facebook page, which maybe it's not too late. I'll go do that on our actual homepage.
Yeah.
That's been receiving really great reviews and responses. I thought that was super fun. We put together a video of like a pharmaceutical mock video about the drug that cures analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guest star. We requested a couple. We won't say whose names we requested them from, but they all clearly suffer from AP.
And that's true. I guess so. And
at least procrastination.
Jimmy Hudson to do the voiceover.
Oh, yeah. And I got to give him credit too. He did a great job. That was fun. I shared it a couple places. I saw a lot of great comments. I think my favorite comment was actually on the Board Game Spotlight when Derek Funkhauser said, the best part is the confessional at the end, because we had an outtake. Christian Kang sent us two, and Christian comments and says, make sure you watch until the very end if you want to see a grown man cry. And then Derek replies, I didn't see a grown man, but I did see what looked like a sixth grader.
Oh, my God.
That is true friend love right there.
Wow.
Got some very great comments. Yeah. Again, thank you, Jimmy, for helping us. And then awesome for Christian to be able to submit us a video. We actually talked about this at, I think you talked
with him. I talked with Christian at PAX Unplugged, how we had wanted to put this video together for a while now, and we were hoping to get it done over Christmas, and Christmas was very busy for all of us, so got it done before April Fool's.
But he said that he had been having the same thoughts, right?
Yeah, he had come up with a script to make a very similar video to this one, so we're glad we could
We appreciate him holding off so we could put it out.
We're together.
And collaborating. Yeah. Need to do more of that, more all the time.
And one of our stretch goals for our campaign is to create another funny video.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll reach that stretch
goal. There we go. Yeah. And we'll, hopefully we get some other contributors, too, because it was a lot of fun to be able to brainstorm some of that.
That'd be
and
cool.
To be able to put it together. Lots of fun stuff. Well, I think we probably are all... I'm tired.
Whew. Yep.
Been a long week for us. We are glad to be back and ready to play some more games. And I think we're all excited about the Kickstarter launch in real time tomorrow. So
Let's
go sleep and be ready for some excitement.
And please go check it out on Kickstarter.
Yeah, if you haven't, it's right there waiting for you. Have some fun. All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.